Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Well, thank you very much, Elizabeth, and good morning, colleagues. It's wonderful to see so many of you here today, and it's a privilege for me to have this opportunity to address you. You know, this conference couldn't come at a more important time for your profession, our NHS, and the services you deliver. There's never been a more crucial time for NHS professionals to stand up and defend the services they deliver and the people and the communities that rely upon them. 150 years ago, a group of pioneering women formed the Manchester and Salford Ladies Sanitary Reform Society. The aim was to support working-class women and families living in appalling levels of poverty, to educate and support them to ensure better standards of health, sanitation, and childcare. These brave, forward-looking, forward-thinking women were indeed the pioneers of modern public health and health visiting. They were also the founding members of what would later become the Health Visitors Association, and now the CPHVA in Unite. Those early health visitors and public health campaigners were working in the context of the appalling levels of poverty and exploitation in the misery of Victorian slums, where the poorest were simply left to fend for themselves by a state that only protected the rich and the powerful. Community health workers have played a major part in changing that, pushing for greater equality and social justice in the lives of ordinary people. The forebearers of your organisation have taken strong, often radical positions on a wide range of issues, be it improving conditions of outworkers, health and safety at work, women's suffrage, public health care, public housing, immunisation, pay discrimination, and the welfare state. Yes, the CPHVA does without doubt have a proud history, and I'm proud to say that Unite is continuing that tradition. 150 years on, we are facing a government determined to take us backwards. Unemployment, poverty and destitution are all on the rise, while at the same time the government strips the poorest and most vulnerable of the social safety net that generations have worked so hard to create. There are now 3.5 million children living in poverty, 3.5 million in 21st century Britain. For the first time, Save the Children is directing funds away from developing countries to support children here in Britain. Inequality is also on the rise. The High Pay Commission predicts that by the year 2035, the top 0.1% will take home 14% of the national income, equivalent once again to that seen in Victorian England. However, unlike in Victorian times, we don't have to start from scratch. Unlike then, we have developed a highly professional public health workforce which has been responsible for ensuring the well-being of mothers and their children for generations and continue to safeguard the interests of the most vulnerable in our society today. It is your professional knowledge and experience that should be driving improvements in the NHS and the nation's health, not the profits of private health companies. Instead, our health service is under serious threat. The Health and Social Care Act is creating the biggest reorganisation the English NHS has ever seen. Against enormous opposition and without any evidence to support their so-called reforms, the government pushed through their act, and now you and your colleagues are being told to pick up the pieces. As all professionals in the health sector know, new ways of working should never be introduced without a strong evidence base and quality control in place. Yet when the NHS professionals, the patients, the public reject the proposals for a mass reorganisation of the NHS, the government thinks it knows best and pushes ahead regardless. Now, the minister has been brave enough to come here this morning, and it'll be interesting to hear his answers to the searching questions that I know that you'll put to him. So what is happening in your services? Perhaps the minister can justify what we've already seen. Large sections of the NHS contracted out to the private sector, with companies like Virgin Care, Care UK, and even Sainsbury's bidding to win these lucrative contracts. Let me ask you, what does Richard Branson know about child health? The answer is nothing, but he's been awarded a £500 million contract by Surrey NHS to deliver community services across much of the county. What do Serco know about community health services? The answer is nothing, yet they've been awarded contracts by Suffolk, the minister's home county, worth £140 million. The reality, colleagues, is that these organisations will simply take over existing services currently run by the NHS, drive down costs, drive down staff terms and conditions, and then cream off the profits off the top. And what about public health? Public health should be the preventative arm of the NHS, but instead it's being farmed out to local government, fragmenting it from the wider health services. Already cash-strapped local authorities are looking how they can expand the definition of public health and how they can move other services under the budget heading, resulting in cuts to current services. The restructuring and chaotic reorganisations going on are causing serious problems with our services. You know that better than anyone. Threatening collaborative work and creating a mass postcode lottery. The Tories' vision for our NHS is a two-tier health service that allows rich people to jump the queue and access more resources. Let me ask you, is that the sort of service that you signed up for when you started working for the NHS? I don't think so. Professional work is a vital part of Unite's work in health. Protecting patients and protecting staff are two sides of the same coin. If we are to invest in the next generation's health, every child and young adult needs access to a school nurse equipped to look after their health. And if we are to truly protect the public, we need high standards in statutory regulation for the likes of community nursery nurses. With workloads increasing, fragmentation and cuts to services, we know that standards will suffer and the patients you support will face the consequences. Colleagues, together we need to stand up for the services we believe in. The fact is this: the NHS is underfunded. The NHS is being broken up. It's being privatised before our very eyes, and we need people to start getting angry. Public health workers have always led the way in speaking up for those being put at risk. Now is the time when we need to speak up for the NHS and public health. It's your patients, your services, your terms and conditions, our NHS. And don't let them tell you that there's no money. If we had a government that had the courage to make the super rich and the corporate giants pay their taxes like the rest of us, we would have tens of billions of pounds to improve and not cut our healthcare. You sit in this room are the professional descendants of those first champions who fought for their communities. Your foremothers started this. They won the vote for women. They were the first TUC-affiliated health union. They championed the causes of disadvantaged people. And you are continuing their fight. Others may want to take the credit and share the light, but we know it is us that have won these struggles, and it is us who must continue this fight. For evil to prosper, good women must stay silent. Your professions have never stayed silent in the past, and I know you will not stay silent in the future. Let me, on behalf of our communities and our people, say a big thank you for the work that you do. Have faith in your beliefs, and a just society will prevail. Have a good conference, colleagues, and thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from PolicyReview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.